Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library. The Midnight Library is written and produced by me, Miranda Merrick. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We would like to thank everyone at our parent company, Astonishing Legends. The Midnight Library is being crowdfunded by our awesome patrons. They get everything first, plus lots of haunted extras. If you would miss the library if it closed, please support it. Visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Do this at midnight for extra protection. To find your favorite Midnight Library, Broom and Fang Pub, or League of Lady Gravediggers bizarre merch, visit redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary. And everything will be just fine.
Madam, a maid hasn't accidentally put one of my grooming products in your dressing room, have they?
You groom?
Madam!
Brute aftershave?
No!
Fantastic?
No.
Wolf manscape kit? I can do this all day.
No.
Just for werewolves? Ooh, full moon tail lengthening pills!
Good evening, everyone. Oh, how nice to see you all. Yes, please come right through. Oh. My, Mr. Mayflower, what's happened to you? To your everything? You... Yes. You tried... What? Oh, you bought Dr. Bombay's rebirth brew at the midnight market. Oh, yes, I see. Well, you look fabulous. I mean, it's what? Yes, it is like starting over. I can see that. Wow. I mean, it's not every day you see a grown man with such, tiny little ears and baby teeth. No. I don't need to see what else is brand new. Not without a goon present. do you really need to wear the bonnet? How wonderful to see everyone. Please make yourself comfortable, and I'll just patter as you find your favorite seats. There we are. Welcome, my dear guests. Anyone who is new, everything will be just fine. I am your mistress of ceremonies, Miranda Merrick. First and foremost, I want to thank all of you for attending our little Commerce of Curiosities, being the Midnight Market that was held just a little while ago. As I cast my eye around the room, I see that many of you are wearing or have brought with you some of the unusual items that you
purchased there.
Excuse me. How lovely. I wish you could see just a few of the things that we procured. That's all right, though. You'll benefit from quite a bit of many of them, or much of it, as you enjoy your visits, I'm sure. If you happen to be having any issues or side effects from your purchases, I'm afraid we can't help you, as we've lost our vendor's license list. We've lost our list of vendors, of all of those who were there, unfortunately. But we'll let you know when we find it. All right? It should be a great comfort for you to know that we also purchase lots of rare and exotic goodies that will, let's say, enrich and enhance your experiences here. Speaking of which, Natasha has filled the hospitality tray in the flavor of tonight's topic, snake oil salesman. So you'll find little snaky biscuits and snake-shaped cookies, both that can be dipped in some pretend snake oil. Pretend, I'm sure. and tea, of course. She told me the name of it. It's Mummy's Tea, Mute Tea, Mum something. Supposedly, it calms and quiets you. Now, since experiencing our nighttime market, I know that many of you were apprehensive about many of the products that you saw for sale there. And I don't blame you for being cautious. I mean, none of that stuff was FDA approved or anything. They really should have asked us what we were going to be selling before the sale, and before they agreed to let us hold our mystery dog and pony sideshow. Excuse me. Well, we had the votes, so hard cheese. Anyway, our consumer confidence and trust in the safety and effectiveness of any product being sold today is of the utmost priority. But my lovelies, this reassuring standard is born out of the fact that at one time in the past, there were no standards, no rules, and no restrictions of any kind. In the good old days, anyone could whip up anything and sell it to the unwitting public. making any claim of its powers they cared to dream up. Imagine walking up to a wobbly stand with a swarthy, shifty character standing there, pouring some sort of gray-green, lumpy fluid into a bunch of mismatched old bottles, while twisting his handlebar mustache, and him telling you in a low and growly voice that his, substance, when drank, will cure your, everything from headaches to heartaches. You did. You met him at the midnight market last week. Hey, Marisa's all right. I don't care what anyone says. We've all heard that wonderful old phrase, snake oil salesman. I actually truly like the way that it sounds, the mood that it carries, and the images that come to me when I say it out loud. Snake oil salesman. How on earth did this become a thing, I hear you thinking? Admittedly, to ordinary people, though, the words snake oil or snake oil salesman often ring an ugly bell. How unfortunate. Even those who are relatively safe from such people and goods today, well, they still somehow know that the title is a clear signal that the person, and whatever they may be selling, is more than likely dishonest, a fake, a trick of some kind, or completely worthless, or perhaps even dangerous, to the point of being deadly. How fun! But let me tell you, the origins of this dodgy, dirty double-dealing, however, are factual and compelling. To start, it goes back many centuries in China and to the 1800s in America, and how the two met and mingled, produced the well-known phrase and the chancy goods and men I'm so pleased to be telling you about tonight. First, you should know that snake oil as a medicine had a somewhat respectable start in China long, long ago. I mean, you know, it had to start somewhere. A book we have here states that some clever people observed how effortlessly snakes moved. So slick and lithe in their motions, easily ambling their way anywhere and doing so their entire lives. The clever people wondered if there was something unique about the reptile's nature that gifted the snakes with this ability. So, they decided to investigate, which meant that they had to look inside of the snakes. And they did indeed find something. Snakes, especially the venomous Chinese water snake, had, as part of their physical constitution, a fatty substance, an oil. With basic logic applied, people in these times reasoned that this oil must be a kind of lubricant, an unguent, that aided the sliding snakes, giving them their powers of propulsion, and the aging and ailing people quite frankly, decided to try it. They, with apologies to our dear Natasha, skinned and boiled the dangerous snakes, noticing that the rich oil rose to the surface of the water. They carefully skimmed the floating oil from the top of the water and rubbed the snake's oil into their stiff and aching joints. More on this in a bit. In the 19th century, the 1800s in America, expansion was the name of the game. People from all over the world were enthralled with this blossoming country. They were also coming to America to build their future, to join the melting pot and earn a decent living while being part of the newly unfolding land. In a tremendous effort to make traveling across the expanse of the budding new nation, the Transcontinental Railroad, a train route that would stretch the breadth of the country and unite distant locations with both supplies and people, was in the process of being constructed. The track of the mighty railroad was to run for over 1,900 miles, and it was to be continuous. It was to extend between the town of Council Bluffs in Iowa all the way west to San Francisco, California. And it had to be built by hand. Every single mile scraped into the raw land needed to be dug out or raised up, chiseled through mountains, spanned across valleys, placed up high on trestles, or burrowed through vast forests. Human hands had to shape the land, dig the gravel, harvest the trees, mill the beams, forge the tracks, and lay them down. And then they had to build the powerful locomotives that would chug along the long miles of rails. And there simply weren't enough workers. So, they were brought to America from China. Astonishingly, between the years 1849 and 1882, just for fun, how many of these important people would you guess came to work and make America their new home? 10,000? 50,000? In the 33-year span, 180,000 Chinese citizens immigrated to live in the U.S. to work for the first 5 years as indentured workers. Their influx enriched society, helped build the Transcontinental Railroad, and helped to further blend the nation's melting pot. They brought with them a quiet life philosophy, a solid work ethic, a love of tea, and their folk medicines. Alongside of the American workers, shoulder to shoulder for long hours until dark, they worked, and doing punishing work at that. These Chinese workers were often seen pulling odd little flasks from their pockets, from which they poured this substance into their hands and worked a pungent oil into their swollen joints and painful muscles. It appeared to help them. And they kindly shared their exotic snake oil with the local men, and everyone was thrilled. The end. Not quite. Something changed. To be fair, you should know that the positive effects of the water snake oil were not imagined or a case of confirmation bias or the placebo effect at work in the people who used it. Indeed, the oil had high concentrations of omega-3 fatty acids, which have been proven to reduce inflammation and swelling in joints and muscles. thereby alleviating pain and somewhat restoring motion. The thing that changed was who was extracting and making the oil, and the snakes. You may not believe it, my lovelies, but even without the instantaneous power of the internet and social media during these slower moving times, word of mouth was pretty darn fast, especially if it was about something helpful, fast, and inexpensive. So the good word about the efficacy of snake oil got around, and many people got the idea to make some of their own, and then to bottle it, and to sell it to others. How hard could it be? Well, in America, there were no Chinese water snakes, and as I mentioned earlier, there were no rules or manufacturing standards. There were also hardly any great city centers in the size we're accustomed to today, and definitely no shopping malls or lightning-quick online ordering. Enter the traveling salesman. With all of America and the West becoming more and more populated, there were new towns, the rail system, and a gold rush on. Well, there were people everywhere. So the salesman went to them in the most amazing horse-drawn wagons that were positively stuffed with an array of homemade concoctions they'd whipped up. Make no mistake about it, these men came to cash in and dash out. But once they found a populated area, there was almost nothing these medical messiahs couldn't make you unquestionably believe they alone had the God-sent gift to treat. They did have one gift for certain. The gift of gab, which I have heard is a real thing. In an almost carnival barker style, a colorfully painted wagon, often with a big, bold, swirling name or logo splashed across its sides, would roll into a little town or square. Sometimes the salesman knew to pull up outside of a church and wait for the faithful to come moseying out as a group, full of pains they'd been praying for relief from, and having faith that their deity would answer their prayers. And lo and behold...
Step right this way, good people of Omaha. Have I got the best thing for you? Raised hope for fallen arches, a big grin for bad teeth, a straight cure for twisty guts.
Honestly, they promised you complete restoration from any ailment, even some that they made up.
Does your wife or your cow complain of golden nethers? You, sir, need Dr. Flibble's divine diluent. Close your eyes and rub it in, and they'll both be up and making butter in no time.
Many of the first wagons had right on them titles like Dr. Dawson's Snake Oil, and they were actually stocked with bottles filled with oil that had rather fancy labels on them, claiming to cure the most unrelated lists of illnesses in men, women, children, and farm animals for a price. Speaking of price, tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by Grimm's Grocers. If you're often asked what's wrong with you, and now you are tasked to find what, Grimm's has an aisle that just longs for you, treating troubles from your head to your butt. Do your eyes glow at night, keeping others awake? Does your belly button moan in your sleep? Grim Snake Oil Isle has some stuff you can take. They're all dodgy, but at least they are cheap. On the top shelf sits old Froggy's elixir, with a toad swimming round in the jar. Swallow him whole or blend in a mixer. You'll feel healed and forget who you are. Stored way down low is a can all aglow, promising a well sensation. Side effects say you'll lose fingers or toes from all the healthy radiation. Grimm's Grocers has what others do not, with little to no catastrophe. Believe what they say about what you've bought. It's all fine, because it has to be. This week at Grimm's, all Devil's Dumplings are on sale in the Flaming Food section. Please wear your fireproof gloves and welding helmet if you have them. If not, long tongs and replacement skin are on sale in aisle 1. Grimm's Grocers on the corner of Vincent and Price. From toothaches to typhoid, from gallstones to gout, even melancholia, nightmares, baldness, and ladies' discomforts, the snake oil salesman had pills, powders, ointments, salves, serums, tinctures, and tablets. Every form of medicine to treat anything you or your animals had. A bottle of Dr. Jake Dawson's Snake Oil Liniment Tonic, which apparently you drank, claimed on the label to be a wonderful pain-destroying compound that treated neuralgia, sciatica, lame back, lumbago, frostbite, chilblains, bruises, sore throat, bites of animals, insects, and reptiles. It also promised to regrow your hair. One major problem was, as you may have guessed, that none of these claims were true. No matter how much the oily salesman claimed they were, and no matter how much the vulnerable public wanted to believe it. The other, perhaps even more major problem was, the powders, pills, and tonics often included strange miscellaneous ingredients that may have been inert, but also alcohol, turpentine, heroin, and cocaine were common components, and sometimes they were all together in the same mixture. On the serious downside, these unregulated substances could poison or kill a person or child or animal. If there was an upside, well, after taking the pills or oil, you may have right forgotten or no longer cared what your ailment was. One thing was certain. By the time you could see straight again, the snake oil salesman had vanished from town. This dangerous and deceptive marketing continued for decades without oversight or investigation. One of the first and most charismatic of these men was Clark Stanley, who was known as the Rattlesnake King. He came along later, most famously at the 1893 Chicago World's Exposition. The former cowboy-turned-showman claimed that he learned his healing snake trade from a medicine man from the Hopi tribe. His piece de resistance was to shock the crowd of onlookers by grasping an enormous fighting rattlesnake and slicing it open. He would then plunge the snake into a tub of boiling water and wait for the fatty oil to rise to the top. Skim it off and pour the fresh, hot snake oil into a bottle. creating live right before their eyes Stanley's snake oil liniment. The crowd bought it, all of it. He began mass production and bottling of the snake oil for sale in pharmacies and mom-and-pop country stores. By this time, near the turn of the century, there were complaints, and the people had organized. By 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act was established, and oily salesmen like Mr. Stanley were first on their list. An entire shipment of Clark Stanley snake oil was seized by the agency and was examined by investigators. Stanley snake oil was found to be made up of varying percentages of simple mineral oil, beef fat, and some manner of red pepper and turpentine, and contained exactly 0% snake oil. Well, you'll recall what I mentioned to you earlier about the fact that word of mouth back in these days traveled like it was shot out of a cannon. So as you might imagine, in no time at all, the new knowledge that snake oil and the men who sold it were all frauds was spread by newspapers and people chattering to one another, meeting up in churches and saloons, and writing to each other. Dear Aunt Fanny, please stop drinking and bathing in Piper's Viper's magical medicine and salad dressing oil. The government fella put up a poster in town saying it doesn't work, and it contains 3% badger grease and 90% owl something or other. So, it's never gonna make Zeke fall in love with you or remove your birthmark that looks like a camel in a Santa hat. Love, your favorite niece, Lurleen. And from there forward, anyone who came around with a miracle cure or treatment, even if it was in a different form altogether, an amazing carpet cleaning agent or gadget that quickly made or fixed something, that substance or thing became known as snake oil, and the person as a charlatan snake oil salesman. The notorious, shady reputation of which followed the door-to-door salesman into the 20th century, which became the reason for their decline, and many a sign boldly stating, "No solicitors," being posted. Well, that and modernization in general helped to do away with them. That being said, if you believe you are safe from such con men and their products today, and that snake oil salesman no longer exists, well, you've only to look to current media for some of the contemporary versions of these slicker, sleeker, even more oily characters and businesses. Only now, instead of a traveling miracle wagon, they have attention-grabbing ads, TikToks, and YouTube channels that capture your interest, convince you that you have some shortcoming, like thin lips, or a bad bed, or the wrong shoes, or representation in government. They tell you that other people are better looking and have more money because they were smart enough to buy their product, go to their seminar, or send them money so they can somehow stop other people from having the lifestyle that's actually yours. So, snake oil and its salesmen are still very much alive and thriving, my lovelies. It's just that they've shed their old skin for a bright, shiny, deceptive new one. We in the Midnight Library encourage you to think twice Be aware of just how they're trying to move money from your wallet into theirs. And know that your lips are lovely, just the way they are. And your shoes? I mean, look at Mr. Mayflower's little blue booties. He's such a little cutie. Don't anyone dare tell me he needs changed. This ain't no nursery, folks. Oh, and what became of the Rattlesnake King, Mr. Clark Stanley? 10 years in prison and a $5,000 fine for his fraudulent product and its false claims, thereby deceiving and or harming the gullible public? No, that is not what happened. He was fined $20 and never disputed any of the charges. See, we always dispute all, well, most of the charges and rumors that fly around about us. That's how you know we're the good ones. Like you, right, my lovelies? Of course. Oh, look there. I see Mr. Darling is patiently waiting at the rear of the reading room for you. If you will take him as your escort out of the library, that would be smart. We thank you so much for visiting. Mr. Mayflower is hoping one of you will kindly give him a lift home. Someone with a booster seat. A baby chair in the car, please. Good night, my dear guests. Good night.
Madam, Dr. Bombay's beard and backside shampoo has caused me to grow an extra tail.
Oh, not to worry, darling. I am an experienced surgeon.
Since when?
Since Tuesday.
No, thank you. I'll just endure whatever the reverse formula directs.
All right, then. Well, enjoy eating your bog body butter.
7 a.m. Too early to book the surgery, Dr. Merrick?
Perfect. I'll even scrape some of the rust off my hacksaw for you.
Great.
The Midnight Library is written and produced by me, Miranda Merrick. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We would like to thank everyone at our parent company, Astonishing Legends. The Midnight Library is being crowdfunded by our awesome patrons. They get everything first, plus lots of haunted extras. If you would miss the library if it closed, please support it. Visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Do this at midnight for extra protection. To find your favorite Midnight Library, Broom and Fang Pub, or League of Lady Gravediggers bizarre merch, visit redbubble.com/people/midnight library, and everything will be just fine.